The epistle for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10. Brethren, let us not covet evil things as they also coveted, neither become ye idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and perished by the serpents. Neither do ye murmur, as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things happen to them in figure, and they are written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold on you, but is such as is human. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue that you may be able to bear it. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. At that time, when Jesus drew near Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also hadst known that in this thy day the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, and thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and straiten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee, and they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying to them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. When Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it. Words taken from today's Gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in today's Gospel, St. Luke describes the very touching, but also very sad scene. It is the sad scene of the divine Savior weeping over the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem at that time was perhaps the most beautiful city in the ancient world, surpassing that even of Rome. Some scholars even think it was one of the wonders of the ancient East. For a certain historian described Jerusalem at this time as a city girdled with towers and battlements, and crowned with palaces. A city, he said, that reached out to the east and to the west, as if bent upon displaying all her splendors before the beholder. Jerusalem was indeed a magnificent city. According to the Gospel, the route along which our divine Savior was advancing towards Jerusalem climbed over the crest of the Mount of Olives. And from this point, the holy city suddenly rises in full view. And thus, as our Lord and the apostles walked up the Mount of Olivet in the holy city suddenly appeared to them dazzling in splendor. The apostles marveled. They gloried in what they beheld before them. And as they gloried, and as they marveled, and as they boasted about their city, our Lord began to weep. He wept because he saw the terrible judgment of God coming upon this blind and obdurate people. Our divine Savior looked into the future at that moment. And at that moment, as the apostle saw the marvel and the glory of Jerusalem, he saw the Roman general Titus and his Roman legions casting a trench about the city and then beating it flat to the ground. He saw the glorious temple, perhaps the most magnificent structure at that time. That temple which had been built for him. He saw it in flames, and he saw the walls completely destroyed. Even as he saw hundreds of thousands of his people brutally massacred. And thus, my dear friends, the scene before him touched his sacred heart. And so he wept tears of sorrow and compassion. You know, he had previously said on another occasion, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered together thy children as the hen does gather her chicks under her wings, but thou wouldst not. But thou wouldst not." In other words, what more could our Lord have done for his chosen people? His people heard his voice daily. As the gospel says today, he was teaching in the temple daily. He healed their sick. He cured their lame. He cast out devils from their bodies. He took their little ones into his arms and pressed them to his sacred heart. He even raised their dead to life. He preached in their temple. He preached in their synagogues. He preached in their marketplaces. He instructed them. He warned them. He even threatened them. He threatened them for their sake. And this he did to break into their stubborn hearts. But Isaiah the prophet had foretold 700 years before, "The heart of this people has been hardened, and their eyes have been closed." But our Lord wanted to save them. Our Lord had an infinite desire to save them. But they would not have him save them. The message, my dear friends, contained in the gospel today for us is this. Our souls have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Savior. Our souls are sanctified by his holy sacraments, and thus they can be likened to Jerusalem, a holy city of God. Since at our birth we inherited the inexpressible riches of Christ, by the sacrament of baptism, we have a right to heaven. The sacrament of penance restores that right if we should, God forbid, fall into mortal sin. At the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we are able to be present at Calvary in a real and true but unbloody manner. And through the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, our souls are sanctified by the Sacred Heart of Jesus himself. By the sacrament of confirmation, we receive the Holy Ghost in a special manner, who bestows upon us an increase in sanctifying grace and graces to strengthen our faith. And besides these and the innumerable actual graces that Almighty God offers to each and every one of us every day, our Lord gave to us His own mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to be our mother and to be our special protectress. And she, through her intercession, obtains for us many blessings and graces, especially when we pray her rosary every day. When we think about these things, my dear friends, when we think about these supernatural gifts, we have to ask ourselves a question. What more could God do for us? What more could He do? And especially in light of the truth, in light of the fact that we have been blessed and even preserved in the one true Catholic faith in an age and at a time when tens of millions of people have lost the faith. It is not uncommon when I travel and I meet people, and certain people who call themselves Catholic and say, "Hello, Father," and they tell me I'm a Catholic. And then some occasions we get involved in a conversation, and as we're talking about the church and about the faith, they're really not Catholic. They really don't believe. I had one woman not too long ago tell me she was a progressive Catholic. She respected my right to be a traditional Catholic. She was happy that I was happy doing that. But she made it very clear she was a progressive Catholic, and she believed there needed to be more change. More change. But in light of all these great spiritual blessings, we have to ask ourselves, how do we use these graces that God offers us? Are we indifferent? Are we careless? Do we refuse His actual graces each day, and as a result, do we lose the state of sanctifying grace? No one can be saved without the grace of God. No one can be saved without God's help. But still, my dear friends, we must do our part. We must freely cooperate with God's grace that He offers us each day. For you see, God does not take from man his liberty. We have a free will. We have a free will to choose to do what is right. We do not have a right to choose sin. We have a free will to choose what is right. We have the power to choose to sin, but we don't have the right to sin. God gave us a free will to freely choose to do what is right, to freely choose to love Him, so that we may save our souls. The city of Jerusalem lived in the midst of her Savior. Catholics live in the midst of the church and the sacraments. And down through the centuries, like the city of Jerusalem, there have been many Catholics who have rejected grace after grace. The most dreadful thing that our divine Savior can say of a soul is what He said of the city of Jerusalem: "But thou wouldst not. But thou wouldst not. Thou wouldst not let me save you. And thus, as Jerusalem would not let Christ be its Savior, so many down through the centuries will not let Christ save them. Our Lord offers the grace and the means to salvation to us, but He does not force us, He does not compel anyone to accept His grace. Some of you perhaps are familiar with that picture of Christ standing and knocking at the door. And if you notice in the picture, it is depicted that the door has no knob or handle on the outside. The door opens only from within. And that door is the door to our hearts. And the Sacred Heart of Jesus knocks on that door. But He cannot enter through the door of our hearts unless we open the door to Him. And it is our own free will, my dear people, that opens the door of our hearts to God. He comes to us, as it were, a beggar, seeking admission into our hearts. If, therefore, in the past we have rejected Him, if we have caused Him to weep over us as He once wept over the city of Jerusalem, let us henceforth resolve to always give Him admission to our hearts. And let us do this in a very practical way, ever striving to love God more than anyone or anything, persevering in the state of grace, receiving the sacraments, avoiding the occasions of sin, and practicing a true, a constant, a daily devotion to Mary, our most blessed Mother. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.